Well, the very last words of this gospel lesson sure sound harsh, and they're hard to hear. But the context of the whole story is about forgiveness and the importance of forgiveness. And actually, all three of our readings this morning, all four, including the psalm, all relate to this issue of forgiveness and not holding judgment on other people. So it really does reflect a life lesson that's important for us to study. So let's dig into it. You and I have made a decision to be the people of God. And that involves us being raised higher than just saying we believe that there is a God, that God does exist. It's even more than saying that we believe that God cares about us. It's even more than saying that God cares so much about us that he forgives any time we goof up. It's more than all those things. The idea of you and me living for God, of living our lives for God, includes a call for us to have a spirit of forgiveness towards other people. And that's not easy. That's a very hard calling that's being made for us. It's one that I've had to deal with a lot in my life. My father was anything but forgiving. And I think there was not just my dad, I think that generation, there was a lot of a sense that if somebody wrongs you, they don't exist anymore. And I saw that happen in relationships where I grew up, and my dad would have mom and dad would have a card playing night with neighbors, and one night something would be said that hurt their feelings, and that was it. I never saw them again. And, you know, so I've had that modeled for me, and I have to admit it's probably at the beginning of my adulthood guided the way I reacted to things. And I really had to learn that is not what we're called to live out as Christians. The fact is that the call for forgiveness is core to our faith. The passages from Romans and Matthew both say that there's a link between God forgiving us and us forgiving people who do us wrong. We say every Sunday, and probably more often, the Lord's Prayer, and certainly contained in that is forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. So built right into that is this idea and this call for us to be forgiving. And there is a sense of God's unlimited forgiveness of us. So we have a need to return that forgiveness to other people. The fact is that God wants us to be in his image. He created us in his image. God wants us to have God's heart beating in us, for us to act like God acts, for us to reflect that kind of loving and forgiveness. God really expects us to hold human relationships as something that's sacred, and so it's worth working hard at and doing things that are difficult. Well, I had a prime example of that when I was ending my engineering career. That I had spent 10 years in consulting engineering. And there were only three of us in the country that did the particular kind of computer simulations and reports that I did, one in Boston and one in Southern California. And the three of us got to be quite good at it, and we had customers all over the world who were contracting us. And I was spending thousands of hours sitting at a keyboard running computer simulations and writing engineering reports about the results of those simulations. And I made a lot of money. And I realized I was accumulating more than we could spend. And it was time to do something smart with that money. So I decided I really needed somebody who was a professional investment counselor, not to just do my own thing, because I don't know anything about the stock market. I know more now, but anyways, we hired an investment counselor, and then the dot-com crash started. And I approached this investment counselor saying, shouldn't we divest? Shouldn't we do something different with these funds to protect them? And he said, nah, this is just a little blip in the market and it'll pass. So leave your investments right where they are. So over the next 4 or 5 months, I probably talked to him half a dozen times about, you know, I think, shouldn't we change? And I didn't know enough about the market to really make up my own mind. I was counting on his. And so the result was that after about 6 or 8 months, my significant portfolio was zero. So all of those hours and all those reports and all of that time and all that commitment had resulted in what was going to be a comfortable retirement and no home mortgage and no car payment. All went away. All of that went away. Well, I was, to say the least, angry. I was angry. And I was depressed. And it really took me a while to work through where I was mentally, that all that stuff was gone. And I came to a place, though, that I realized he didn't even know I was... Well, I mean, he knew I was upset, but he didn't know how angry I really was. And I don't think he would really care. And the damage being done really was to me, the anger. It was really damaging me. And so I realized I needed to forgive him, and I have forgiven him. I would never invest with him again, but I have forgiven him. Because what I realized was that the act of forgiveness is about releasing me. It's not about releasing the other person. In fact, as I might have said, I'm not sure if I did just state it, he doesn't know that I have forgiven him. There's no need for me to call him and tell him that. It's about me. It released me to see that there are plenty of blessings at work in my life. Plenty. And I need to pay attention to those. And God is always bringing good out of bad. And I see it time and time again. And so I need to focus on that. Jesus said that we should forgive beyond count. We should lose count of how many times we forgive. And to make the point, he makes this point about 10,000 talents. Let me tell you about talents. A talent is a measure of weight. And the measure of 10,000 talents of silver, which is probably what it refers to, equals 150,000 years of a typical laborer's income. So one talent is 15 years of income. So what this king gave away wiped off the books was 150,000 years of income that this slave would have to come up with. Clearly, that could never be paid, right? And so the king gave it away. And so Jesus is saying, that's the kind of forgiveness God has for us. That's the kind of forgiveness God wants us to have for each other. Well, it certainly offers to us the question, what are the debts others owe you that can never be repaid? And we're not talking about money here. We're talking about other things. Debts that other people owe that they can never repay. And are you holding on to some debt so tightly that there's no room left for God? So think about what impact forgiveness would bring. And do the tough work of thinking through whether it's time to forgive. The point of the parable is that we should not even count the number of times we forgive. It's not about the math. It's about having a spirit of forgiveness that we decide to live by. This message of forgiveness is not about being a regulation. It's about being a rule of life. It's something we decide to adopt in the way we handle the things that we experience in our life so that we can move closer to God by living by that rule. Paul told the people in Rome that we are not meant to live for ourselves. We are here to live for the Lord. It's not about being self-driven. It's about being driven by the Lord's sense of values and character that he's asking us to live by. So that's saying that if you and I as a parish, or you and I as Christians in Hollister, or you and I as people in the world have conflicts with other people, that's natural part of humanity, that we're not going to agree on everything. But there is a higher overarching principle that should be beyond those conflicts. And that is that we have committed to living our lives for God. And so even if we don't agree on these lesser things, that should not stop us from knowing that we share with each other that we're living for God. And that based on that, we can forgive. So, making forgiveness a rule of life puts God first. So commit yourself to having a heart of God beating in you. Amen.